This is Building Bridges, hosted and produced by Mimi Rosenberg and Ken Nash.
Hundreds rally against the prison industrial complex.
Now we go to the Lincoln Correctional Facility in West Harlem, where the Occupy Wall Street Prisoners Solidarity Subcommittee, along with hundreds of allies, heeded Occupy Oakland's call to action and marched in solidarity with Pelican Bay prisoners' hunger strike. With brothers and sisters who are dispossessed by the criminal injustice system, with immigrant detainees, and with political prisoners everywhere.
They raised their voices against the growth of the privatization of the prison system and mass incarceration, the new Jim Crow. Between 1970 and 1995, the jailing of African Americans increased sevenfold. African Americans make up 12% of the U.S. population and 53% of the nation's prison population. There are more African Americans enslaved under correctional control today, in prison or jail, on probation or parole, than there were in 1850. And now to West Harlem and Mimi Rosenberg's report.
Reporting on the mass action against the prison industrial complex at the Lincoln Correctional Facility in West Harlem. We have here one of the champions of the activity against the mass incarceration system, and whether it's politicizing and controlling that brings people into the criminal justice system. And we are speaking with
Francisco Torres, former member of the San Francisco ADA and a former Black Panther.
What do you think are the critical issues that the broader public has to understand about mass incarceration and the role of policing today?
We have to stop this mass incarceration. I mean, look, our youth are being tagged. That is to say, you know, we are actually being targeted, not just to incarcerate us, but also to take our names, identification, so that when they do tag us, what they do is make us less employable. Also, it makes people less likely for school entry. So when you apply for certain things, you know, you may not get incarcerated, but you are tagged. That's why I'm saying you're already on the dishonorable roll, so to say.
And personally, how do you relate to, and why do you have a specific and extra role, shall we say, within the protest that is gathering here today in response to the mass incarceration system?
I was targeted by the police. I was targeted by the government. So I understand prison conditions because I was in prison, you know, and I've seen a lot of our youth here. And this targets our community. This targets Americans. And everybody should be out here. Now, I have to be out here. We all have to be out here and be counted.
What do you think the critical issues are for young people, their vulnerability within our society, particularly, of course, Black and Latino?
To understand the issues, to understand what's happening in America today. I think that's the most critical, to understand the conditions, the environment in which we live in today. When we don't understand that, then, you know, we become victims of circumstance.
And how do we really tackle, how do we take on the criminal justice system? Is it about getting rid of Kelly? Is it about getting rid of his spokesperson, Brown? Is it about a different mayoral candidate? What's
about
required?
The whole system altogether. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you can get rid of the individual and it just replace the individual. So if you don't change the environment, if you don't change the system, then you keep the same system in place, then it's going to prevail. So we have to make sure that we just overhaul or change it.
There are specific things that you might want to relate, given the tremendous police abuse that has happened to the citizenry in Puerto Rico, that you might want to raise up.
Yeah. I was just recently in Puerto Rico a couple of months ago. I saw the same things, mass incarceration, mass unemployment. I understand Puerto Rico being a colony of the United States. It's squeezed. You know, we're here on the mainland being squeezed, but the colonies are being squeezed of resources and whatever funds it used to get, they're diminishing or completely gone. So Puerto Rico is in dire need of attention. Attention. Just attention, because we have that news blackout, you know, that people on the mainland and throughout the world don't know exactly what's going on in Puerto Rico. And when I was there, that's one of the things that we saw. We said, we're not getting attention focused on Puerto Rico, what's happening here in the colony. So we need to focus attention on Puerto Rico.
And we are speaking with?
Francisco Torres, a former member of the San Francisco ADA and a former Black Panther.
And one of our heroes for all the years of social commitment and social justice. Thanks for all that you do.
Thank you, Mimi.
I'm here with King Downing, one of, it looks like about 100 people at this stage that are gathering to protest. You tell us who you are and why you're here.
Well, I'm King Downing with the American Friends Service Committee, but here part of the campaign in the new Jim Crow and the Riverside Church Prison Ministry. And today is a day that has been designated across the country the Anti-Prison Industrial Complex Day. And so all over people are protesting and standing up to the prison industrial complex. And we're here at one of the symbols of it, Lincoln Correctional Facility, who held Abby Hoffman for a time period. It was well known as a place of housing protesters. So we're going to kick it off here, and then we're going to march uptown. But we're using Harlem as one of the feeders into this whole problem to raise the issue.
The broad issues of mass incarceration, how are we to understand those politically?
Well, first is the economic part of this. This is big, big money for major corporations who are now moving into privatization. It's also big money for rural areas that have been getting this kind of prison welfare in order to build these institutions and have former farmers who, you know, corporatization has taken their farms away, and so now they work in these places. And finally, it's containment. Containment for communities of color who are not being given jobs or opportunities, and now for immigrants of color as well.
Thank you, and we've been speaking with King Downing.
Mike Chang!
Mike Chang!
Mike Chang!
Mike Chang!
Mike Chang!
Mike Chang!
I know it's a beautiful spring day.
I know it's a beautiful spring day.
But it's winter in America.
But it's winter in America.
This building over here.
This building over here.
Now known as Lincoln Correctional Facility.
Now known as Lincoln Correctional Facility.
Is a symbol of the problems in this country today.
Is a symbol of the problems in this country today.
The 1% have decided.
The 1% have decided.
That this building.
That this building.
Which was once a progressive community school.
Which was once a progressive community school.
Is now a symbol of.
Is now a symbol of.
The prison industrial complex.
The prison industrial complex.
We want to let the people inside here know.
We want to let the people inside here know.
That we're in solidarity with you.
That we're in solidarity with you.
And at some time.
And at some time.
These walls will come down.
These walls will come down.
These doors will fly open.
These doors will fly open.
And the true criminals.
And the true criminals.
The true criminals.
The true criminals.
The 1%.
The 1%.
Will get to move in.
Will get to move in.
And then we'll see abolition for sure.
And then we'll see abolition for sure.
So we're here.
So we're here.
To stand our ground.
To stand our ground.
To claim this as liberated territory.
To claim this as liberated territory.
And then we're going to move on.
And then we're going to move on.
We're going to have a march.
We're going to have a march.
Through Harlem.
Through Harlem.
Which is one of the feeder points.
Which is one of the feeder points.
Of the prison industrial complex.
Of the prison industrial complex.
So make some noise.
Make some noise.
Now we're going to start off.
And now we're going to start off.
With a teaching.
With a teaching.
And it's not us teaching you.
It's not us teaching you.
It's not you teaching us.
It's not you teaching us.
We're teaching each other.
We're teaching each other.
And the way it's going to work.
And the way it's going to work.
Is that we are going to call out the prison industrial complex is.
We're going to call out the prison industrial complex is.
And then anyone who has an answer.
And then anyone who has an answer.
And there are no wrong answers here.
And there are no wrong answers here.
As long as you're part of the 99%.
As long as you're part of the 99%.
You will raise your hand and give your answer.
You will raise your hand and give your answer.
And the mic check will give you props by repeating it.
And the mic check will give you props by repeating it.
And we want it loud.
And we want it loud.
We want it strong.
We want it strong.
We want all of Harlem to hear us.
We want all of Harlem to hear us.
And we want the people in this community. To hear us and respond.
To hear us and respond.
All right, so where are my Harlem people at? Where are my Harlem people at? Where are my Harlem people at? All right, all right. So let's kick it off. Remember, hold your head high. The prison industrial complex is?
The prison industrial complex is?
A cancer that's metastasized many times over.
The prison industrial complex is
at the heart of people's struggles.
At the heart of people's struggles.
The prison industrial complex is
the prison industrial complex is
one of the ways the 1% tries to contain and control the poor.
One of the ways the 1% tries to contain and control the poor.
The prison industrial complex is
the prison industrial complex is
2.5 million.
2.5 million.
Behind bars in the United States.
Behind bars in the United States.
Most of them black and Latino.
Most of them black and Latino.
The prison industrial complex is.
The prison industrial complex is.
A violent cover up for mass unemployment.
A violent cover up for mass unemployment.
The prison industrial complex is.
The prison industrial complex is.
More black men.
More black men.
Behind bars.
Behind bars.
Than there were black men.
Than there were black men.
Enslaved at the height of slavery.
And enslaved at the height of slavery.
The prison industrial complex is.
The prison industrial complex is.
The new Jim Crow.
The new Jim Crow.
The prison industrial complex is.
The prison industrial complex is.
Over 700,000 people.
Over 700,000 people.
Stopped and frisked.
Stopped and frisked.
By the NYPD last year.
By the NYPD last year.
Mostly black and Latino.
Mostly black and Latino.
Tell me what brings you here today in front of the Lincoln Correctional Facility. What do you think the issues are that made it important enough for you to come out?
Well, the issue is unacceptable the number of people the U.S. incarcerates compared to the world. I mean, the U.S. is 5% of the world, but the U.S. has 25% of the world's prison population. We have more people in jail than in China and India, places that have billions of people. And not only is it mass incarceration, it's disproportionately black and Latino people who get discriminated against. I myself am a victim of it numerous times. I live in the Bronx. I know many people with peers. I know families been torn, you know, destroyed by it, from the mothers or fathers getting arrested or children being incarcerated. It is a sort of genocide from where I would say.
How old are you?
I'm 20 years old.
When you say you've been the victim of it, just give us an understanding of some of what happened.
I've been arrested for riding a bike on a sidewalk. That's been one. Small amounts of marijuana, and even just being stopped and frisked and being charged with unreasonable noise when I declared that I did not consent to the search. The police proceeded to arrest me. And because I protested, you know, I don't consent to the search. They're not supposed to search you.
Are you heartened by the turnout today in protest of this mass incarceration system?
Well, yeah, I'm very optimistic. I mean, I've been doing this for like a few months now, and this is a large turnout. I mean, people come out before, but now it seems like a big crowd, especially since the Occupy movement, since the movement's in the Bronx, Take Back the Bronx, and Occupy Harlem, and even, you know, abroad.
Great. And you are?
I'm Khalil Vasquez. I go to CCNY.
Thank you. Maggie, certainly you're somebody who's been involved with the efforts to free Leonard Peltier, who has now been in jail, I guess it's 30 years. I remember going to Wounded Knee myself, those many years ago, in a support capacity. But what's the correlation between freeing Leonard Peltier and what's happening here today?
Well, I know that there are distinctions made between political prisoners and non-political prisoners. But I feel that many, many prisoners who are considered criminals are political prisoners too, because of the system. It's this awful system that we have that lands a lot of these people in prison for very little reason and keeps them there for a very long time. And for me, that's political. Even though some of the things they may have done would be considered criminal, I still believe that a lot of the reasons that they're in here is because they're poor. They can't get jobs. They're desperate. So that's what happens. They end up in a place like this. And it's so much easier for them to end up here if they're a person of color. That's the big problem. Leonard specifically is considered a political prisoner because of the particular situation he was in. But for me, a lot of these folks are political prisoners. That's just how I feel.
And catch us up very quickly on what's happening with the case of Leonard Peltier. As a matter of fact, I was even reading about his attorneys trying to get new information about the person he was initially arrested with, who is now at large, who may indeed have been an FBI informant.
Oh, the guy in Canada, you mean, Black Horse, who wasn't even Native. Well, poor Leonard at the moment is in a really bad situation because he's been transferred to a pretty awful facility. They won't put him in the geriatric unit, even though he qualifies. They deducted 10 years from his age somewhere in the transfer between Pennsylvania and Florida. Not only that, but they throw him in the hole for any old reason, just anything. You know, in 2009, he was refused parole. They said, come back in 15 years, which should be 2024. If he's alive, he'll be 80. He actually has a release date, October 11, 2040. If he's alive, he'll be 96. So it's a pretty awful situation for him. They really seem to be after him. I think there's a real plot against him. They seem to be afraid that maybe Obama will come through and grant executive clemency. And there seems to be a special effort now to make him look as bad as possible. He had a spotless record. They're trying to create any old thing that'll throw him in the hole. That's his situation now. We're trying very hard to find out what happened with Black Horse. There's a lot of documents that have been mislaid. Some of the early records, when William Kunstler was his lawyer, nobody seems able to find. They're trying to find the FOIA documents from those periods. It's very, very difficult. But that's the situation now. And the committee is desperate for funds to help pay for these legal expenses. Having him in Florida has made it much worse. It's much farther for everybody to go. So that's the situation.
And I'm speaking with
Maggie Tobin from the New York City chapter of the Leonard Peltier Defense Offense Committee. Thank you.
Thanks, Maggie, always. And we're getting ready to march. We're in front of the Lincoln Correctional Facility. What brings you here today?
Well, myself, I am sick and tired of my grandsons, my sons being shot down like dogs by NYPD. Every time a young man is killed, executed in his back, Commissioner Kelly and Mayor Bloomberg don't do anything about it. Time has come to stop marching. I think the time has come to confront One Police Plaza, because the main thing I'm here, they just killed a young man in his house in his back. And I'm sick and tired of black men being assassinated by the NYPD, and nothing happens to them. So this march, okay, everybody's got issues, but my main agenda is to make sure none of my sons and grandsons get shot down by the NYPD like dogs.
And you are?
I'm Theodore Kenny.
Well, I'd like to thank you for your comments, and thank you for being here today.
The prison industrial complex is...
The prison industrial complex is...
African-Americans
making up
40%
of the prison population while being only
14%
of the population
of the United States.
I'm here with Suzanne Ross. Suzanne, I know that you've been most active in the campaign for free Mumia Abu-Jamal, but tell me specifically, what is the relationship to the work that you do that brings you here in front of the correctional institution in Harlem?
Well, you know, we never supported Mumia just because he's an extraordinary human being and so special in so many ways. All that is true, but we always saw him as a symbol and representing so much more and what's wrong with this whole society in terms of the racism, the incarceration of millions of people, the torture of people in isolation, police brutality, all those things that led to Mumia being on death row for 30 years and now in prison for the rest of his life until we free him, are what today is about. So Mumia is like an individual who can enlighten people about so much that is wrong with this entire system. Mumia was only 14 years old when he's beat up by cops for protesting against George Wallace. He was 14 years old. Mumia was targeted from the time he was 14 years old. They waited, they had to wait a certain amount of time. They waited till he was 27. But so many other Mumias have been locked up at 14 and 15 and 16. And it is outrageous. We've got to stop this. And those of us who've been active, whether it's on Mumia, on any issue of justice, cannot tolerate this.
I'm speaking with?
Suzanne Ross. I'm the co-chair of the Free Mumia Abu Jamal Coalition and belong to Riverside Church Prison Ministry, which stands for a lot of what we're about.
What brings you today to Lincoln Correctional Facility to protest the mass incarceration system? Why is that something critical on your agenda?
I mean, I got politically activated by OWS, and when we talk about making a freer society for people, we're talking about a system that locks people actually literally in cages for profit. This is a privately owned prison here. And then we're talking about something that's just like an egregious violation of human rights, putting people behind bars and then making a profit off of it.
Prison industrial complex is...
The prison industrial complex is...
State's repression of poor people's resistance.
State's repression of poor people's resistance.
And uprising.
And uprising.
I know you work with the Labor Organizing Committee, among others, and the immigrants community of Occupy Wall Street. What specifically is bringing you here today to the Lincoln Correctional Facility?
I'm really glad that we're starting here because the Lincoln Correctional Facility is a perfect symbol of our mass incarceration state. As an activist with the Immigrant Worker Justice Working Group at Occupy Wall Street, we've been highlighting in particular immigrant detention and deportation, which despite the fact that Obama, you know, came in as a reformer and we all had really progressive expectations for him, has actually deported more immigrants than any other president in U.S. history. Last year alone, over 50,000 people with citizen children were deported, and they can be in detention centers for months, even years, before their, like, deportation proceedings actually are completed and all the paperwork is done and everything. So one of the things that we're trying to highlight today is how Wells Fargo, in particular, one of the big four banks, profits a lot off of immigrant detention. It's a major stockholder of the two largest private prison companies, the Corrections Corporation of America and GEO Group. It has also invested, is really how they see it, but it has donated hundreds of thousands of dollars to the politicians who supported a lot of the very specific anti-immigrant legislation that's been coming out in places like Alabama and Arizona. And the reason they do that is because they view private prisons, they view detention as a growth industry. So that's really what's brought me here today.
And you are?
My name is Philip Arnone. I'm 25.
Thanks, Phil.
You're welcome.
Let's form a line.
As wide as the sidewalk.
As wide as the sidewalk.
All of you on the walls.
Who run private prisons and detention centers? And lobby for anti-immigrant laws. To place more non-citizens in detention. Every day there are over 33,000. Immigrants in detention.
Every immigrant detained.
Means more money in their pocket. Last year alone.
They made $3.1 billion in profit.
We want Wells Fargo. To stop investing in the prison industry.
Which detain and promote deportation.
Of immigrants.
Shame on Wells Fargo.
Detention centers, we say no. Wells Fargo's got to go.
Private prisons, we say no.
Wells Fargo's got to go.
that was at the Wells Fargo office and also at the Lincoln Correctional Facility in Harlem, the new Jim Crow, and yes, privatized prisons, and indeed, prisons got to go. Well, this has been Building Bridges, your community and labor report with Mimi Rosenberg.
And Ken Nash, and log on to our website at www.buildingbridgesradio.org.